Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain, and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
Advice for little kids from a former little kid.
Grown-ups always ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's super annoying. Just say whatever pops into your head. Firefighting princess or president of Mars. You're a kid, and kids change their minds. It's not legally binding.
An Ohio tax-free 529 plan is made for change. Savings can be used for college or all kinds of career training, nationwide, or even rolled over into a Roth IRA. So take some of that tax refund and get started at collegeadvantage.com.
Off the ball, GAA.
Davey Burke coming out after a game and making comments like that. I'm not sure how exactly helpful it is to his team, but maybe he's trying to get a message across to them that, you know, the last couple of weeks haven't been good enough.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Six Nations
on Off the Ball
with Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
Friday, that is week two of the Women's Six Nations. Things get up and running at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, where France hosts Scotland. It's Wales versus England then at 4:45. But the game we're most interested in is Italy versus Ireland. It takes place in Italy on Sunday at 3 o'clock our time. Obviously, Ireland coming into that game on the back of that disappointing defeat to France last weekend. I'm delighted to say that Tania Rosser is here with us in studio. Tania, good to see you again.
Thanks for having me.
And Fiona Hayes is with us on the line. Fiona, how are you doing?
Good, Owen. How are you?
Good. I think we're going to put aside a full hour here to discuss the recent Belvedere versus UL Bowes clash in club rugby. I heard the coaches were up in arms with one another that day.
Yeah. There was blood flying and everything, Owen, across the pitch. It wasn't the players.
We might actually get to that in a few moments' time, because I do think there's a good conversation to be had around the Celtic Challenge and club rugby in Ireland. But Fiona, you might just kick us off here. Haven't been chatting to you since last Saturday. Kind of general thoughts, general emotions on what happened last Saturday, because it feels that there's a whole pile of positives you can take from it and then a whole pile of reasons to be disappointed.
Yeah, look, I will say, Owen, I think initially I was really, really disappointed, because the performance was actually really good at times. I was on with you. I said they could have got that scalp. I know playing at home, it's not a scalp, but just where the women's team are at now, taking France at home would be a huge scalp. As the week went on and I've kind of watched the game back, look, I feel... From being in studio, even talking about it or chatting to you, it's been a huge jump in the space of a year. So I obviously had followed the WXV and that game against Australia up in Belfast. So I knew what this team is capable of. And watching that initially after the game, I think it was the 32 handling errors. Tanya will probably talk a bit about the kicking game as well. Probably disappointing. Even after the game, I'm so used to Dana banging him over. And that's not just one player, but just even when you look at, they both scored three tries, those kicks really probably cost Ireland a little bit. But now looking at it, I think they've built a really solid foundation. They were disappointed after the match, which is great to see, because I don't know if I've been chatting to Tanya about this, but sometimes, you know, if we've seen this team on the back of huge losses and probably smiling and laughing after games, whereas watching this group now, they know they have the ability to win big. So watching how disappointed they are made me realise, look, it's a World Cup year and this team is going to get better. And and I suppose that I was pretty happy as well with the pack's performance.
As the week has gone on, Tania, are you looking at the glass being more half full or half empty?
Probably half full. I am disappointed with the performance, I suppose. But looking over the week, loads of positives. Like, our forward pack is sensational. They really held it up to France. Their scrum, their line out, fantastic. We scored great tries off them all. The disappointing part for me in the first half is our lack of attacking ability in our backs, and whether that's just come off the back of a Celtic challenge where they've had lots of glorious tries, have been baking through lines and then coming into meeting France first up. So that level change from the Celtic challenge into the international game. So that was a little bit disappointing. I would worry about our attacking shape, as in when it breaks down, what's the next play for them? Because it looked in the first half that they were unsure of what to happen, what to do after three or four phases if they hadn't got to the edge. But in saying that, the massive turnaround in the second half, they came out, performed. And I'm questioning, did we come out and perform or did France fall asleep? So the issue we have with France is they can be fantastic. They're breaking line breaks. They've got great defence. And then they just switch off. And then they're down to 14 men. So I'm like, was it the French switching off or was it Ireland performing really, really well to come back into the game? For me, the forwards brought us back into that game. Their physicality, their set piece, their ability to score, Aoife Wafer to score off lineouts and things like, really held that team together. So I'm hoping moving forward that now our back line will come together, click, have a bit more connection with each other. I think there's a little bit of disconnect between our 9 and 10. And as a scrum half, my job is to get to the first receiver the ball. So as a scrum half, all I want to do is get to a ruck and move it. Whereas I thought that Emily carried too much and scooted. And then with scooting, it's really, really good if we can thread our forwards through the gaps. Whereas she was mistiming it, or there was miscommunication on who she was hitting. So I'm hoping coming into Italy, that settles and she finds her groove with what whether to scoot or shift the ball. Putting our kickers under a lot of pressure we're defending the try line, we get a good turnover. And then instead of like using our pack to carry a couple of times just to settle the game down, then to hit our kickers.
Is that what you should be doing when you've kind of put together a string of handling errors in that first half? Just keep it basic, even if the plan is to be a little bit more expansive?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, there were some big carries from our forwards and then we'd tip the ball on and they'd knock it on. Whereas if we just carried, got gain line and fast ball, definitely set up, you know, and be patient. If we're not making gain line, then maybe we kick. But as Fiona said, our kicking game wasn't our greatest. And like, I've known Dana for many years and she has got the best boot in the country. And unfortunately, you know, a couple of misjudge. We have a couple of the girls in the backfield kicking out on the full, which isn't great either. But previously, have we had those opportunities for our backfield to kick? Probably not. We probably would have run it, but at least they're trying things this year, which we haven't seen in previous years. But like I said, it's a big step up from the Celtic challenge that they've been playing in lately.
Can we come back to the connection between 9 and 10? Because that's a really interesting point. Fiona, I'd be keen to get your thoughts on that. That is probably a cohesion thing, right, where we're still trying, I guess, at international level to strike up partnerships that are, relatively speaking, quite new and still whatever into like half a dozen international caps. So what we're seeing from scrum halves, connection between 9 and 10 and the rest of the back line, what were you seeing on Saturday?
Yeah, look, I think Tanya's right. I think that scooting certainly cost Ireland in that first half. But things were changed at half time. And that 9-10 connection, it's the same as 12-13, is essential. It's probably the most important connection that you want when Ireland have the philosophy, I suppose, of going to the edge and going wide. So what I think, if you look at it, Emily started, was playing on an opposite side to Dana in that Celtic challenge. So they were both on obviously two different teams, the Wolfhounds and the Clovers. Sometimes in women's rugby, I feel like it takes a little bit time for these players because it's not a week in, week out type of thing where they're playing all year round like the men's game. So sometimes it does take, yes, they are training together and all that, but sometimes when it comes to that match and especially that French line speed, I think it kind of takes a little bit time. And certainly in that first half, I know that there was issues around that. Look, I looked at the ruck speed as well, and Ireland, you can see what they're trying to do. I think they had 67 or 68% under that 3 second mark, which is absolutely huge. And then you look at the over 6 seconds, obviously there's a gap in there. They'd only 2%, just below 2% that were over 6 seconds. So that is completely telling you that this team really want to play at a high speed. That in turn can create some handling errors. But I felt like, and you see it from the attack, and Tanya probably discussed this a bit more being a back, but there was certainly a move I thought they overused, and it was they'd go wide off the first phase and then it would swing back to Stacey, who comes into the line behind. Look, that is like it's a great move. You could see the space was created and it generally left you for two, I suppose, on two with one in the backfield. And I felt like Ireland's variety on how they attacked that didn't change. So they used this good move. It created the space, but it was, I think maybe once near towards the end of the game, there was a kick by Stacey and you could see the French defence then had to scramble back. So you could see they're trying to stretch defences, and the ball in the air time, probably if you're looking at that back line, they'll work. I mean, they've such great skills. I'm looking at the players out there. Tanya's coached a lot. There is what an amazing skill set those girls had. But I think coming into that cauldron, the pressure of that French defence, probably the ball in air time, I think was a little bit too high. You could see it with the long passes and Ireland got nailed at times. But that's what these games are about, these first games. And Ireland got a feeler for that. And they certainly changed that up a little bit in the second half. And I think going forward, Owen, you'll see maybe a little bit tighter in that back line and how they attack. They can still go to the edge, but I think the setup maybe needs to be a little bit narrower. But that's just my opinion.
The ball in air time is an interesting point, because that'll be mentioned on the show this week, where maybe in the last quarter of the game, let's say, it kind of felt like Ireland's kicking was quite prescriptive and it was quite a frustrating watch as in why you're kicking possession away. But actually, it's not correct to be frustrated with the decision to kick. It was actually just the execution that seemed to be off in those moments.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's right to kick, and I think it's good to have a game plan where we can kick, because other years, it was, I suppose, back when Niamh Briggs was playing, that we had that kicking ability. It's just the option. Like, I'd like it to hit grass, or I'd like it to be contestable, or maybe grubbers. But we're kicking either straight down to the attacking team, and you can't do that with the French back three. But like Fiona said, our attack, we've got good players for attack. In the first half, you would have seen it was quite, we were within the first goalpost to the sideline, which doesn't normally happen with the Irish team. Or ball in air means time to smash. So even if we're doing these big loopy miss passes, we say ball in air, time to smash. So the French get up really, really quick. And with a defensive line so fast, you've got to have more options and play slightly deeper. I would have actually brought our forwards into the game a bit more, and I know they were already working really, really hard. And Fee will talk to you about this, but I would have made them carry more and condense them in more, because they were making some inroads on the French defence. I think we just looked to go too wide too soon. I would love to see, and I'm going to throw this in your brain starting, actually.
Right.
She will make a huge difference to that back line. She'll give us an option, a kicking option, but also step in at first receiver. She's a defensive threat. I think she's just a well-rounded player, and I think we could do with her experience in at centre. Probably I'd like to see her starting in at 12.
Okay. Is that something that you think will happen? We've got a team announcement tomorrow afternoon, by the way, for a Sunday game.
I don't know. Will it happen? I would love it. Love to see it. Because like when she came on, she did change the game.
Why didn't she start last week, do you think?
I think Eve Higgins is ahead of her at the moment.
Okay.
Definitely. And Aoife Dalton holds her jersey. She made one great line break. And there's another thing. Like, you've got a great centre that runs hard lines, but we don't get her on the ball enough. We don't get her on the ball quick enough, because she'll dart into holes and make those half breaks. So at the moment, I do see Eve Higgins as his number 112. But Enya Breen brings, and Fee knows Enya, and she's worked there, so she could probably talk more about Enya, but she brings that experience and just a different type of game. She can kick, she can ball, she can defend, and her decision-making is really, really good.
Okay.
And just on that kicking point as well, Tanya, there was three left leggers on the pitch. So you saw how we struggled to exit in the dead ball area. So having some, you know, doubt, I suppose, down in that left hand side when playing up. So someone like Enya with her right boot offers you that exit off that right leg as well, because they were getting severely under pressure. And, you know, I know they trained together. Some of the blockers were probably sitting on the wrong side of the left leg and just a few bits like that. And it just got hectic. But now worry if you have someone like Enya with a right boot. And I think Eve is amazing as well. It just adds to that, and it changes up the picture as well when you're playing Italy and how they view how you attack, because you have a different type of player in there. But I will say her arm looked heavily strapped when she came on. I don't know if something happened. It was it stood on maybe in the couple of days beforehand, but you could see when she kicked out on the full, I found it very unusual for her not to go towards that ball. But I feel like it was a psychological thing in her head, maybe with the strapped arm. That surely settled down now, so she'll be disappointed with that coming onto the pitch and doing that. But certainly how she attacked after that and how she put people into space was excellent.
Would you be starting any as well this weekend, Fiona?
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's good to have a bit of healthy competition there. I think Eve was superb, and even when she went off, you know, she was missed. The thing with Enya as well is she, you know, Eve obviously is amazing at 12, but it's that age old thing. If you have someone like Enya on the bench, she offers you that 10 option, that 12 option, could possibly play 13, and if you needed her to slot into full back, could do that as well. So she's one of those, suppose, those players that has been around a while and probably has played in numerous different positions. But not taken away from anything Eve did, but I'd love to see a right boot out there just to be able to relieve the pressure. And I think having Enya on in this match against Italy, creating, there is I'm sure huge competition there, but even having her in that, it just creates that massive thing between these 12s, 13s, because Enya can play 13 as well. So Aoife Dalton certainly was outstanding, and they need to get her more ball, like Tanya said. So I she'd be holding her place for me.
The highest achievers among us are the people still striving, still reaching for something. The people who aren't satisfied to stay where they are and want to keep climbing higher. And it's those people who approach the impossible and embrace it. There's a vehicle for people like that. It's called the Defender. The Defender is an icon reimagined for a new generation of explorers through thoroughly modern design. Its interior is modern and functional, with rich material finishes and quality craftsmanship. When you're in a Defender, you can tell the interior is built for purpose. Luxury appointments throughout and practical storage options ensure you adventure in comfort. This is a vehicle capable of great things and engineered to meet challenges head-on. Wherever you're headed, experience the Defender's legendary capability, both off-road and on. And there's a family of vehicles for Defender. Meet the Defender 90, Defender 110, and the 8-seat Defender 130. Are you ready to embrace the impossible? Explore the Defender at LandRoverUSA.com.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain, and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
Advice for little kids from a former little kid.
Grown-ups always ask, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's super annoying. Just say whatever pops into your head. Firefighting princess or president of Mars. You're a kid, and kids change their minds. It's not legally binding.
An Ohio tax-free 529 plan is made for change. Savings can be used for college or all kinds of career training, nationwide, or even rolled over into a Roth IRA. So take some of that tax refund and get started at collegeadvantage.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
When we analysed the Ireland performance last year in Le Mans and then compare it to Belfast at the weekend, there's clearly been a narrowing of the gap between France and Ireland. Specifically though, Tania, when it comes to the skill set, particularly in the backs, is there still a bit of a gap there where the top level France can get you with skill execution in their backline only? It's still just a few steps ahead of Ireland.
Yeah, I think so. Like the last try that the French scored was off a good skill work, you know, their passing, their distributing of the ball. You've got to remember the French defence is really, really quick.
Yeah.
And really, really fast. And the girls haven't played under that pressure yet until that first match. So I think give them a little bit of time, their skill is going to come around. You can always be better at passing and catching a ball. Like, I don't care what any coach says, that's your bread and butter. But I think the pressure of the line speed would have put our girls under a heck of a lot of stress, to be honest. But yeah, our skill set has improved, but it can always improve and get better is the key to that.
Well, let's chat about that pressure thing then and the conditions that a lot of these players would have been under before going into this first weekend of the Six Nations. It's been a talking point for sure, but both of you, Fiona and Tania, have got really good experience of the standard that these players are at week in, week out, leading into the Six Nations. So Celtic Challenge has been held up as one of the big reasons as to why Ireland started slow and maybe need a few games to build into this. What's your general take on that?
After the last couple of Celtic Challenge, I agree with that. I think, like, if you had taken the Balbo girls and played against Fee's team, UL would have given them a better run than what the Celtic teams did this year. If you've seen the last game, I think it was 105-0. So the girls were just picking up the ball and running through them. There was no pressure there at all. So I think there was a huge disconnect of the levels that they were playing. But within training, I'm sure they're training at really high pressure and that. But when you're playing games that are quite easy before a Six Nations, it gives you this false sense of security that you're actually performing really, really well when actually the other teams are quite poor.
And if they go out and win this weekend and grow into this year's Six Nations, it'll actually only prove that point more because they've started the competition so coldly. And I think as a general idea, it probably seemed like the right thing to be playing against players from different countries. But the reality right now is that the club game in Ireland is of a higher standard for competition than the Celtic Challenge.
I would think so, Fiona. I mean, if you look at UL, when we went down to UL, now they hammered us. But if you were to put like Brittany Hogan or Erin King in against Fee and them, then they're getting a really good run because UL and Railway Union and Rock have got really good players there playing in the club land and they're playing great rugby. And I think they just would have got a better challenge out of those top 14 games here in the AIL than what they did in the Celtic Challenge. But Fee, I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, of course. I'm a big advocate for that. I think, there's funding. There's funding there. That's why the Celtic competitions there, where Rugby has given funding. They want this tournament. It's a great idea, I think, in theory. But, and this is my point, if the players were released from the Premiership, so if you know, those Scottish and Welsh players are playing, I think, yes, it's a brilliant idea. It's almost like a URC type of competition. Everybody's playing at a top level. You're playing against the girls. You're playing in the Six Nations. But the majority of Wales and Scotland play in the Premiership. They don't play the Celtic Cup competition. So a lot of these other teams, it's used as a development type of thing. And obviously from the universities, they would have picked a couple of players as well. And it's, look, if you look at it, each nation against the other team in that, so like the two from Ireland had a huge competition, the two Scottish teams went well against each other and the two Welsh teams went well against each other, but Ireland's top players playing in this competition when Wales and Scotland, and we know England playing the Premiership, I think is probably why I'm so adamant against why not let them have a crack in their own league at home. That's obviously my opinion. I'm biased because I'm involved with even if it's and Tanya would agree, even if it was a Leinster Munster kind of expanded type of thing, there might be better games there as well. I think it's brilliant to get outside the country and play teams, but it's just with the lack of the Welsh and Scottish players on is my biggest gripe with it. And obviously I miss my players when they're gone, so yeah. I'd be raging. And Tanya probably loses half her team, you know, yeah. From the start she'd lose a lot as well, and then Tanya's with a lot lot of Tanyas would stay away with Ireland, whereas so a lot of my girls will come back to me for the last couple of games of the season. It's just in a, it's in a strange place. The clubs don't know what's happening a lot of the time. There's it's frustrating for us on the ground. It's probably a little frustrating for the fringe players as well that don't get up to that level. But look, or if you have chosen this decision and they're going with it, and I think, look, I'm always going to have a gripe, but if the national team are doing well, which we can clearly see, they're going to always be able to back it up and say, well, these girls that are training full time with us are doing really well.
Yeah, I think the Celtic Challenge in theory is a good idea.
Yeah.
But I think there needs to be cohesion between the three nations. So I've spoken to the Welsh, who heads up the Welsh pathway, and she was very clear that it was for the development players. And Scotland are the same, whereas we use it for our national players. So if there was like an agreement of how they were using it, then it might be more effective. I do think there's going to be a place for it in a few years' time, and I think it's great getting out of the country and that we head towards how the men use it. Just at this present time, I don't think it's where it needs to be.
And is it a case where there's a whole pile more Welsh and Scottish players playing in the Premiership at the moment? Is that just the reason why?
Yeah. I think a lot of their players are off there, you know, earning a few quid, playing really good rugby, and the Welsh and Scotland have said, right, you stay there where you're going to develop in the UK League, and we will develop our next crop of players to come through.
If we think about this sustainably, the Irish model probably has the stronger foundation, even if there's a little bit of chaos with the correct level of development. Like, I mean, if we talk about, again, maybe it's going to go in a very different way, but if you talk about and comparing it with the men's game, the control over players has been one of the strongest elements to the men's system in the IRFU. And the fact that Scotland and Wales have ceded control over a lot of their top players. And I know there are Irish players playing in England as well. But is there something here that Ireland, on the women's side of things, can also get to that level of control like they do with the men, because it's better for welfare in terms of how the players are fixed going into big international tournaments?
Yeah, I think they've already got that control. Mm-hmm. So they've already, I mean, we can't touch our contractor players as coaches. We barely see them during the Celtic Challenge anyway, and the WNTS girls are looked after as well. So I think they've already, or that's already landed with us. Okay. So we already know our place. We already know that the national team, and which is fair enough, the national team is our most important team at the moment, because we've got Six Nations, we've got the World Cup, so we've got to look after those players. But that's already in place. They're already telling the clubs when you can have players and when you can't have players. So I think it's already there. I think we just need to find a happy medium of how we use the Celtic Challenge and the AAR. Because I don't agree with people saying that AAR isn't important. Club rugby is important. And without us and without club rugby, we won't have a national team down the line. Like, we can't continue taking our young girls from the under 18 squads and throwing them into a national contract or a Celtic team. You actually learn a lot of graft in club rugby. Like, I used to go back and I used to be playing with girls that never played rugby before. So then I could help them and coach them and learn and grow with them. Whereas we're taking them from the under 18s game straight into a professional game or set up where they haven't learned and grafted. Yeah. You know, would you agree with that, Fee? Like,
yeah, it's just they look at athletic profile as well, and obviously they go straight off that. Whereas I suppose myself and Tanya around so long, your rugby, I suppose IQ, your ability to learn as you trained with teams at clubs, we're just used to that. And when it came to being picked at that top level, you'd played a lot of games. Your how you understood the game grow, your penalty count, I suppose, went less and less from when you started. Well, that's what it was with me anyway, Owen. I think Tanya's right. It's when they go straight in, it's just at club, I think there is a lot of value to that team environment even, and bringing them, those older people, bringing them up without that high intense, high performance environment.
I'm just trying to figure out what's the sort of ideal scenario here while being realistic. Is it like Celtic Challenge 2-3 weeks earlier and then they go back to their clubs, or like what would be the ideal situation here for Ireland?
Jeez, that's a tough one. For me, I'd probably like to see the club land start slightly earlier and finish earlier, so that they could lead into their Celtic Challenge. And those players that are left, that maybe that we go into a provincial cup, so we can keep the ones that are developing, but we're within our provinces now.
Right, before the Six Nations.
Right, before the Six Nations.
That would be, because like, I mean, the games that you've had against one another as Leinster coach and Munster coach have been brilliant games, and like the top tier of Irish rugby is playing in these games.
Yeah, and it's good, and like, and there's a healthy challenge competition there, and there's good skill level. But that's what I don't know. I don't think one idea is going to fix this problem.
Yeah,
to be honest,
of course.
There's so many moving parts, and you know, Lynn Cantwell's got the job of trying to put this all together. So, in fairness to her, though, she's been around all the clubs. She's been to the provinces and everything, so she is getting a good feel. I don't know if we've got our calendar right for what we need it to be at the moment.
The one thing I would say is that, like, if you constantly look at the men's game and what they've done, we can also look at what they've done wrong and allowing the club game to go the way it's gone in men's rugby.
Yeah.
Surely the women's game can learn from that, given what you're saying here, Fiona, as well, in terms of what it's actually providing for these players who are talking off for Ireland.
Yeah, and I'd be huge on that. And you have to remember the player pool as well is much smaller than the men's game. So, you know, a lot of players learn at women's AIL, whereas in the men's game, you know, you could be on 2C or you could be playing junior rugby and then you can move up. So that player pool is tiny. And when you keep taking and taking from the clubs, it's going to absolutely kill off the game that's there. It kills off the connection between the club and the RFU. And I certainly this year feel very strongly about that it's tough going. It's tough going as a coach. Players are constantly being removed. I think it's that time. I think it's the calendar. I think it's moving. Celtic Cup is moving to 19 games next year. So, like, I lose 16, 17. It's getting bigger. So it's getting bigger, and probably you're looking at home and away games. I'd be of the mindset it's either going to be maybe top four in the AIL. If there was something like that and you qualify and play in that level, that would be unbelievable if we could get that. That's probably not going to the way it's going to go. So you're looking at maybe the provinces then, four provinces can play off and enter this Celtic Cup, it expands that. And as Tanya said, then that club knows clearly, we will not have these players for this amount of time, and it's almost, I suppose, you're looking at like a junior AIL to keep those players that are taking over. Yes, I obviously want to coach, and Tanya is the same, you want to coach the best players in the country, and if you're at club, that won't happen if it goes that direction. But the rugby is moving into that high performance pro direction in the women's game. It's absolutely brilliant, but I just feel like, please don't neglect the people that, when you weren't looking after the women's game, the people that were looking after it for a long time, don't forget about them and try and keep them involved in things that are going on.
Yeah, I think well said there. A couple of other things before we wrap up, just to get back to previewing the weekend. Just one last thing from last weekend. I'll put this one to you, Fiona. When it comes to the statistics from round one, and indeed last year, Linda Dugang made 3 dominant tackles against France, the most by any player in round one of the Six Nations. She also made the most dominant tackles of any player in the 2024 edition of the championship. So a word for big-hitting Dugang.
Dugang, unbelievable. Tanya's lucky. She's probably the 2 breast front rowers, although she doesn't seem enough in the country, because I have to say Linda is, and she probably had a quiet game against France, I'm gonna call it, because she's normally everywhere, but she's able to put in those big shots. And Niamh O'Dowd, I am just in awe of how she defends. I spoke about her last week, Owen, and we saw her leading that line as well. So to have 2 athletic, big hitting front rows, never mind Niamh Jones, who's unbelievable as well. I think the front row is in very safe hands. I would have worried at times about the scrums in the past. They have sorted out that. These girls are learning in that high performance environment. The scrums are looking good, but their ability to play around the park are next to none. So I'm so excited what's there, especially that starting front 3, and Cliona Maloney obviously on the bench is something special as well.
Yeah,
like, Niamh is fantastic. Her work rate is unbelievable, and she's one of the fittest in the squad for a prop. Now, Fee can tell you this, for a prop to be one of the fittest is really impressive. But Linda's, like, her amount of carry she has, the work rate she does, like, I agree with Fee, she was quiet this week. I think that was down to excellent defence from the French, but our front row is unbelievable. And I think they're going to put it up to a lot of these other teams this year.
When it comes to this weekend, then, it does feel that the stakes are a little bit higher. Nothing to do with the results per se, but three wins has kind of been the objective, I'd imagine. From the outside looking in, maybe inside they've been targeting four, but this game, Scotland, Wales, after the progress of 2024, you kind of got to go and win in Italy this weekend, right?
Yeah, definitely. I don't see Italy as a problem if we turn up.
Okay.
Okay. If we take them lightly, then we've got a problem. Last year, Italy played really good rugby, actually. They're quite an expansive team. They've got really good skill set. Their centre partnership, I really, really like. They work really well together. They just feed off each other, which is really good. I just hope we don't underestimate them is my issue. They also have a very good kicking game. So hence why we probably have Amy Lee and Anna McGann and Stacey Flood in the backfield for that. But I just hope we don't underestimate them. That's my biggest worry.
Yeah. Fiona?
Yeah, look, I agree with what Tanya's saying. I will say, look, they obviously didn't have the ability to go after England, but they certainly went after England's breakdown at the weekend, and they had huge turnovers. And a lot of it came from that centre. Rigoni, Dinka were brilliant, and, you know, their number eight, Scorbini. So a good few of these girls are playing in France and playing over in England, so they're playing a high level of rugby. I feel like Ireland won't underestimate them, but them at home, and I suppose it's been over the years, and it's definitely in the women's team, I see it. You don't know how they're going to play. Yes, they obviously will exit and do, or will they, will do everything that you'd predict, but it's that kind of, we talk about French flair, but the Italians in the women's game for the last few years, their ability to offload and contact, they're so, so dangerous. But I think if Ireland's play and stick to their shape and really get after them up front, it's up front where I think they can do big damage. So I feel like, yes, they have to win this game, I think, for their confidence on the back of finishing last week disappointed, but still having a good result. I think they'll go over and get that win, but it's a very, very hard place to go, especially if Tanya will know this as well. They can take you to all sorts of pitches over there.
Where, and is this one this weekend? There's no skullduggery about the venue this weekend, I trust.
No, it's grand. It's
Well, we'll wait until we turn up. They might have put a hose on it. But like I do agree with Fiona. Like, our forward pack will, if they dominate, then we win.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they will, because they played really well in that second half against the French. The unpredictability of Italy, though, might catch us out. They're able to swing plays that I haven't seen before. Not that I haven't seen before, but I don't expect them to be able to do. If we can, our ruck speed, if we keep it really, really quick and we can get the ball out to our centres, we could make inroads there. But it should be an exciting game. If we do lose, then there are issues.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I tell you what, for you might agree or disagree with us, our defence is really, really good. Mm. Even though we're under so much pressure from the French at the weekend, we still managed to defend really, really well. Even when they had overlaps or they had space, Ireland manage to fix those problems or tackle and kill the ball at some stage. So our defence is really, really improved. I know we've been talking about attack, but that whole mentality to go out and get them now, get off the line, which I really like, because that now brings Nevo Dowd into the game. Nevo Dowd is so quick off the line. Now she's got other people being told they have to get up with her. So I think our defence has really shifted. Over the last few games.
For sure.
Yeah.
Fiona, I know you got to go, so thanks a million for joining us on the Six Nations Show. We'll chat to you again soon.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Fiona Hayes there on the line. You're listening to the Six Nations Show on Off the Ball at Bank of Ireland, the proud sponsor of Irish Rugby. Never stop competing. Just one last one for you, Tanya. Any other changes you expect to see in the 15 tomorrow other than that midfield?
I don't think so. I think the pack stays the same. Our back row, I don't see that shifting. They're too good. Maybe the nine jersey might move to Aving. I thought she came on and she steadied the ship a bit, and she, you know, her pass is really crisp, so that gives Dana another second on the ball. Back three, I don't see him changing that. I think he likes the fact that we've got height at the back, we've got a kick, like Stacey Flood has got her 15 jersey, you know, and she can counter-attack really, really well. She's good defensively if they break through, and she's also got a kicking game. I want to see Enya Breen at 12. Oh, but the issue is, if we have Dana starting, who's going to cover 10? on the bench or who's going to cover 10 in the centres on the bench. And unfortunately, because she can play 10, 12 and 13, I think she is stuck on the bench.
Her versatility is a killer for her potential to start.
And I remember someone talking about this, about a player that played for England, and he never got to start because he was too versatile. So sometimes it's better just focusing on one position.
Yeah, the Kieran Frawley sort of syndrome, yeah. Listen, Tania, great to chat to you again. Thanks many for coming into studio. That's been this week's Six Nations show on Off the Ball at Bank of Ireland. We'll take a quick break.
The Six Nations on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Irish rugby. Never stop competing.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.